Hello, everyone, and hope you've had a great start to 2024. My name is Sonali Siribarthana, and I lead on ESG for Simmons & Simmons. As an international law firm committed to helping move the dial on sustainability, we have focused on the oceans and blue economy as a key area which deserves greater awareness and investment. And our clients very much share this view. This is why we decided to organize this podcast series, Seas of Opportunity, Navigating the Blue Economy. It is a collaborative effort between Simmons & Simmons and the Marine Conservation Society that targets not just advocacy, but action. I'm delighted today to be joined on this podcast by Sandy Luke, who is the CEO of the Marine Conservation Society. To start us off and help set the scene, in this first episode, we explore the concept of the blue economy. So, Sandy, given the great work that the Marine Conservation Society does in protecting the marine environment, and also your vision for a sustainable blue economy, can you tell us what that means? What is the blue economy, and what is the value of a sustainable blue economy?
Yes, hi Sonali, and thanks for the introduction. So first of all, the blue economy is basically all economic activity linked to the sea. It's fishing, it's shipping, offshore renewables, oil drilling, tourism, all of those kinds of things. At the Marine Conservation Society, we are all about protecting the marine environment. Obviously, we're about a cleaner, healthier ocean that allows species and habitats to recover. So that sustainable bit, sustainable blue economy, is really key for us. And it's important because people, society, and the economy all depend on a healthy ocean. The ocean provides us with food, with oxygen, it regulates weather and climate, and it has that hugely important role in protecting us from the impacts of climate change like flood and storm damage. And we know that half of the value of the global economy has some level of dependence on the ocean. So currently, the blue economy's impact on nature and ocean is mainly extractive, though. We remove minerals, we remove fish resources, and we damage nature and ecosystems. What we do is that we exploit the ocean unsustainably. We're robbing current and future generations of resources. And we know that extreme weather events and sea level rises are huge economic risks too, and it just makes sense to address these. So we need a blue economy where money flows into activities that are regenerative. A blue economy that recognizes and enhances the value of the ocean by protecting and building what we call our marine natural capital, and that underpins this value. So scaling up funding and investment for those activities that have a positive and lasting impact on the marine environment is hugely important. And that could be things like restoring coastal ecosystems or sustainable aquaculture, which is basically fish and seaweed farming, or implementing marine protected areas. So the right regenerative investment into the blue economy can create new forms of livelihoods that are centered on coastal communities in a more sustainable way that provides benefits over multiple generations, and it can make the economy and finance sector more resilient. Investing in marine ecosystems is like investing in infrastructure. It creates the foundations for further value to the economy. It's really beyond a nice to have. It makes economic and financial sense in the long term. Sonali, it seems that in the last 12 months, policymakers, regulators, and private actors have begun waking up to the significance of those blue ecosystems that I was just talking about. As a law firm, I imagine you've seen firsthand how this trend has been unfolding.
Definitely. This awakening, Sandy, has happened through both a risk and an opportunity lens. Perhaps let's take each in turn. On the risk side of the spectrum, sustainability disclosures and due diligence regulation has been on the rise. We all know that. And blue ecosystems are increasingly embedded into these standards. And with frameworks like TNFD, that's the Task Force for Nature-Related Disclosures, which requires companies to evaluate and assess their dependencies and impacts on nature, we see that companies will need to understand how their activities interact with blue ecosystems. Moving on to opportunities then, as we know, the ocean is two-thirds of our planet and the world's largest carbon sink. So there is a growing awareness that it is indeed a powerful force that can be harnessed as a critical solution to the climate crisis. In fact, we recently conducted a survey amongst 700 investors and C-suite executives, and incredibly, 58% of them prioritized water and ocean sustainability in their portfolio investments. And we are seeing this manifested in the real world in terms of corporate transactions connected to the blue economy. Sandy, what are the opportunities then, from your perspective, the Marine Conservation Society, that you are seeing from a conservation and project perspective?
Yeah, obviously, from an environmental point of view, the opportunity here is to significantly scale up the restoration and protection of marine ecosystems. And the opportunity for investors is to fund positive environmental and social impacts and hopefully make some money too. What we're seeing as the biggest barrier really is A, risk, and B, money. There is a huge funding gap between what's being spent on projects and what is needed to protect the marine environment. There's some limited charitable funding and also a little bit of public funding, but it really is a drop in the ocean in relation to meeting our environmental targets and maintaining healthy seas. So for us to see the growing understanding by financial institutions of their dependencies on the ocean is really important and could really incentivize private investment to protect the value that the ocean provides and to start develop marine natural capital markets, obviously through projects that deliver financial returns. And in relation to that risk question that I mentioned, we think that it would be possible to blend together different types of finance so that public funding could be used to de-risk projects and help them become more economically viable to private investors. And at the same time, that would have multiple public benefits, because we know that returns on investment into ocean recovery can deliver returns in the form of benefits to health, well-being, and the environment that are between 5 and 10 times greater than the actual amount invested. So by backing up commitments with meaningful measures and collaborating across different sectors of the sustainable blue economy, we really have a great chance to show what is possible. The solutions are at our fingertips. If UK stakeholders can pull together and get this right, the UK could be a real world leader in this space. So Nali, obviously, on top of all of that, there's still a challenge in raising finance for these types of projects and to meet sustainable development goal 14 on life below water, we do need private finance involved. What appetite is there amongst the private sector, and what sort of things are they looking at the moment?
Thank you, Sandy. I'm delighted to report there's actually a groundswell of appetite within the private sector for ocean-focused investments. While, of course, we are nowhere close to where we need to be in terms of scale, we have seen a rapid uptick in both blue-focused investment funds and debt instruments such as blue bonds. So, for example, in the past 5 years, there have been nearly 30 new blue thematic investment funds focused on areas from sustainable fishing, marine transportation, and offshore wind. A similar story we see is unfolding in the debt markets. There have been over 25 blue bond issuances over the past few years. And these are not just limited to sovereign blue bonds from the likes of Fiji or Ecuador, but we're seeing corporates also joining the fray. So, for example, in June last year, we had the Danish company Ørsted become the first energy company to issue a blue bond. Moreover, there's increasing interest in concepts like biodiversity and marine net gain, which requires companies to have a net positive impact on ecosystems. Now, these concepts are being weaved into the regulatory fabric in countries such as the UK and may well spark the growth of a nature credit market. And if done credibly, this could be hugely impactful to scale blue finance. We hope to see this momentum continue over the next months, and as more transactions are finalized, it will no doubt create a greater confidence within markets to help scale these blue opportunities. Sandy, it is an exciting time, and I think you share my excitement in this space. So over 2024, and if we are to continue this momentum, what are your hopes for the blue economy for this year?
It's so great to hear about everything that's happening. And really, my hopes are to ensure a robust, sustainable blue economy where ocean positive projects can thrive and where the ocean can recover and sustainable investment can happen, because we've created the right conditions from an ecological, regulatory and economic perspective. And that means having frameworks that place ocean health and its environmental and socioeconomic importance at the core of policies from an environmental perspective and a financial and economic perspective. That also means that natural capital assets need to be at the core of economic planning, and we need those innovative financial models that you've been talking about, Sonali. Another crucial enabling condition, I think, is to bring together the required knowledge and evidence base more, and to bring together that expertise across sectors that we need, including from the finance industry, but also from government, and build on that momentum that you've been describing so that we can start to unlock some of those many financial and economic opportunities that a healthy ocean presents. And we really do want to support this, and we plan to play our part with that by bringing together stakeholders to get that ball rolling and maybe deliver some first pilot projects in the UK as well, which after all is an island nation with a huge marine area that represents so much opportunity. And if we can properly protect it, it can make so much progress, and the UK can become a real leader in this sector, and we can prove that sustainable finance, innovative ocean finance is possible and feasible and will help the ocean, the environment and the economy.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sandy. That's a really positive note to end this podcast on. It's been a real pleasure to exchange views with you in this episode. So thank you to everyone listening in, and we hope you stay tuned and join us for the upcoming episodes of the series, Seas of Opportunity, Navigating the Blue Economy.